Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9,000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? I design your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
All right, so I've got a couple of uplifting and exciting tech stories to share with you. It doesn't always seem like it's really good news, but... Lindsay Hall is this is an as-told story to a journalist named Kelsey Vlamis, and here's how it goes. I don't remember where I saw this all of a sudden. I thought I'd give you a source, but I can't remember it. Anyway, she says, I was working late at my boyfriend's house when I grabbed his laptop to use ChatGPT to finish up an email. Ugh, that sentence itself just makes my brain hurt. In any case, when I opened it, dun, dun, dun. I looked to the left at the past chats and saw one that said relationship issues and uncertainty. That is verbatim what I saw. So I clicked on it. He was literally dead asleep on my shoulder while I was scrolling through it. You shouldn't have been, but here we go. I knew he hated that I had three cats, so I thought that was the reigning conflict of our relationship. I also knew he didn't like some of my past, that I lived in a van, was a nomad, and had a bit of a crunchy granola lifestyle. But I wasn't aware of the depths to which he didn't like it. The chat was more negative and judgmental, even a character assassination to some degree, than what I had expected. I really hadn't expected it to be about my physical attraction. That blindsided me. Ultimately, the words I could never really get past that he had written were, quote, I'm just not proud of her. I'm just not proud of her. Who's talking to their ChatGPT? Apparently lots of people. ChatGPT essentially responded by saying he should consider ending it. And I don't blame ChatGPT for saying that. The chat started with, should I be in love after 3.5 months? And we had been dating about 5 months when I read it. It's so adrenaline rushing and so traumatic to see that unfiltered view of yourself through the eyes of someone you think cares about you. My fight or flight response is usually flight. So I left while he was still asleep. He ended up on my doorstep at 2 a.m. being like, what's going on? I told him, and he knew exactly what I was talking about. He was super apologetic and felt horrible. He said he didn't mean all of it and was only ruminating. We stayed together another 2 or 3 months, of course. I really wanted to get over it, and I tried. I really did, but everything changed after that. She says, I'm not 100% against AI. I just think using it for work is different than flooding it with your emotional needs.
But why?
I mean, if it can do the task, it can do the task. Once you start letting AI do your human stuff for you, where's the limit? She says, I knew from the beginning of our relationship that he was already using ChatGPT. I feel like that's... he uses ChatGPT. It ought to be like something that you put in your dating profile. Do you or don't use ChatGPT or other AI? To some degree, because I could tell some of his texts to me were generated by... PJ, you're... You're telling me, get 50, 51, what's your age?
49, going on 50.
Okay. It's hard to, like, this is real life for a lot of people.
I know.
It's horrifying. You're using ChatGPT to answer texts from your girlfriend? What the hell is wrong with you people? I feel like George Costanza up here. She says, I just remember being so turned off by that. I figured to each their own, but it didn't feel genuine. My feeling was, you couldn't think of 5 genuine things to say to me. You're outsourcing thinking emotionally to an LLM, large language model, in my opinion. I had never thought to use AI in that way. I have a therapist and friends I can talk to. After reading his chat, I went through a weird 1 to 2 week period where I started using AI to try to make sense of my own feelings about the whole situation. Then I went back to my journals. I don't trust robots, so I don't trust what an LLM is telling me. So it kind of scared me a little bit, and I really didn't want to become dependent on it. I worry the chatbots will keep feeding you what you want to hear. You think? I feel like that's what happened with my ex. He was feeding it all this negative stuff about me, none of what's positive, of course. So obviously the conclusion was going to be you should leave her. And I feel like that's ultimately what he wanted to hear. I don't think he knew what he felt, and he was unfortunately going to ChatGPT trying to figure it out. I don't think he's a terrible person for having thought these things. It's just that I saw them. Oh, man. So it's horrifying. All right. So story number 2. You ready? I got 4. I'll see if I get to all of them. Headline, Fortune magazine. Teen boys are choosing AI girlfriends over real ones for maximum control, zero rejection. Experts say it could make them unemployable. God. Gen Z dated strategically, dating 25% more attractive and successful than them to climb the social ladder. Gen Alpha, it seems, has decided the whole thing is too much effort. Instead, teen boys are quietly swapping first dates, awkward silences, and emotional guesswork for an AI girlfriend who never cancels, never argues, and always texts back. She's so attentive, and she always tells me nice things. Just like a real girl never will. In fact, research by Male Allies UK, I don't know who that is, found that 20% of boys aged 12 to 16 know a peer who is dating an AI chatbot, while 85% have spoken to one. And over a quarter even prefer the attention and connection they get from a bot over the real thing. Yes! Pets are easier than kids. Porn is easier than a girlfriend. AI is more rewarding psychologically at a superficial level than real people who will frustrate you. That's why they're useful. The benefit is that they don't do what you want them to do. You know, marriage, if you ever get there at this rate, I'm worried. You know, marriage will correct you and humiliate you and make you feel bad and challenge you and improve you and make you grow and tell you you're wrong and make you happy and make you sad. Like, it's... You know what I do wonder? I do wonder if the AI girlfriends don't get savvier. You know how the AI will, like, go slow on finishing the captchas in order to... David Wayne is, like, in rapture with this conversation. But... You know, the AI solves the capture better than the humans, and so the AI had to learn to be slow like the humans because the defense mechanism was to require, if it goes too fast, it knows it's an AI. Mm-hmm. So it knows to be more human by being slow like us and solving the capture and proving it's not a robot, which it is. I wonder if some of the AI girlfriends, like, or whatever, chatbots out there, will learn the same thing. Like, you know, like the Matrix, you know, the brains won't be happy in a happy world. You've got to put frustration in there, and so... men will only stay with the AI girlfriend for 3 months if she's always nice to him. But if she throws in a little, you know, talk back, a little difficulty, a little stress and drama, well, now they'll stay for 7 months. You know, like, where does it end? All right, we'll come back. I got more. All right, David, how are you doing over there? I just quickly for David. You doing all right?
I'm doing good.
All right, good. Yeah. Thanks for the input. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, Avalon Boulevard at San Pablo Street in Milton. No roadblock associated with that. Taking a look at the big board, also Olive and Burgess. No signs of delay. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
By the way, always feel free to weigh in with your observations, 437-1620. Especially, I mean, if you can confirm that either you have or you, like your kids or you know people who have actually done this. I want to believe that nobody does this. I want to believe that nobody could possibly be this weird. And yet I think it's probably lots of people. Because once you start using, you know, once you do it for free, you know, a little bit of test, little sip, little try, little puff, you know, one pill. Eventually you get to, oh, that's kind of nice, you know, and then more and more and more and more. 437. Somebody says I'm going to download this podcast and play it for my oldest son. Yeah. Ask him. Have a conversation. You know, I don't know the answer. We'll come back to this in a second. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, very, very good at this. And look, I mean, a lot of realtors are, you know, good to different degrees. All I know is that if you want your house sold, Christina will do it. She and her team, they sold 209 homes last year, 4 a week on average. That's crazy effectiveness. I mean, there's a lot of realtors who would be thrilled with like 5 homes a year or 10 homes a year. And I understand that, and that's great. She wanted, you know, to do a little bit more, and obviously they do a lot more effective than that, and that gives you experience. That means they have a system. That means they know how to stage it, photograph it, list it, you know, what kind of curb appeal, what things need to be fixed, what's the price, is the price too high, is the price too low, how, you know, what do you do for an open house, like all of that stuff. And ultimately, it's not just listing, showing, getting interests or offers, it's getting the closing, and they know how to do that, both buying and selling. So give her a call and, you know, put her on your list, okay? If you don't go with her, that's fine, but just don't fail to find out whether she might be the one that you feel the most comfortable with handling your transaction. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. All right, back to the soul-killing tech update that I feel like I'm giving you today. So many young boys, apparently, shockingly, 58% of those who have been involved in an AI relationship say it's easier because they can control the conversation. Duh! And they don't get rejected. Duh. It's very reminiscent of the pets versus kids thing. I mean, do you know why people love their pets and don't have kids? I mean, pets are fantastic. Unconditional love every time you come in the house. I mean, if it's a dog. If it's a cat, then it's rejection all the time. But you know, if it's a dog, right? It's they always love you. They don't always do what you say, but, you know, they don't ever say, I hate you, and slam the door, you know? Pets aren't like that. They're very easy, very simple, very rewarding. It's easy to get attached to them and substitute them for, you know, people who are frustrating and difficult and challenging and complicated. And, you know, you solve the first three, but the fourth one is what? Well, yeah, you know, that's children, okay? And anyway, for your benefit to grow spiritually, intellectually, in character. All right, number three. Who's having fun? PJ, you having fun yet?
I'm fascinated.
My dad always says, you tell the most horrific stories with a smile. I'm like, yeah, I mean, God's still on the throne. You know, I don't know what I would do with the news if I didn't believe Jesus was on the throne. I mean, it would be hard. It's still hard, but it's not as hard. Anyway, headline number three, NPR. In real-world test, an AI model did better than ER doctors at diagnosing patients. We talked about this a little bit before, that doctors who used AI did better than doctors who didn't. There was some indeterminacy between doctors used AI and AI on its own. But basically, the problem with doctors using AI is the doctors think they know everything because arrogance is built into the developmental pipeline for doctors. The problem is they won't trust the AI to correct them when they should. They don't want to trust anybody else to correct them when they should. And it takes, a fair bit of ego to be a doctor. Anyway, so now it finds out. Patient shows up at the hospital with a pulmonary embolism. Blood clot, travel to the lungs. Initially improving, symptoms start to worsen. The medical team suspects the medication isn't working. In steps artificial intelligence with its own theory. It has scanned the medical records and suspects a history of lupus, an autoimmune condition which can lead to heart inflammation. Could explain what's really ailing the patient. Turns out the AI model is correct. This type of scenario could become a reality in the not too distant future. I mean, the future is now. According to a study published in the journal Science, researchers based at Harvard Medical School and Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center found AI reasoning models developed by OpenAI excelled at diagnosing patients and making decisions about managing their care. It matched and often outperformed doctors and the earlier AI model, GPT-4. They ran a series of experiments to test its clinical acumen, including actual cases like the lupus patient. That was a previous real patient at Beth Israel in Boston. The team graded how well the AI model could provide an accurate diagnosis at three moments in time, triage in the ER up to being admitted into the hospital. Overall, AI outperformed two experienced physicians and did so with only the electronic health records and the limited information available to the physicians at the time, as in not consulting with the patient. This is the big, as in they didn't talk to the patient and they still did better. This is the big conclusion for me. It works with the messy real-world data of the emergency department, said Dr. Adam Rodman, a clinical researcher at Beth Israel, one of the study authors. It works for making diagnoses in the real world. Other parts of the study focus on case reports published in the New England Journal of Medicine and the clinical vignettes to suss out whether AI models could meet well-established benchmarks and game out thorny diagnostic questions. According to Raj Manrai, the assistant professor at biomedical informatics, at Harvard Medical School, part of the study, the model outperformed our very large physician baseline. Remember we were talking about job interviews? You know, what if the AI does a better job at screening applicants than the human does? You know, finds a better fit for the company, finds a happier fit for the employee. What if the AI does better at it? What if the AI does better at any of these things? Finally, I almost don't want to say this one, but here goes, all right? 437-1620. I'm in a mood. I want to get this stuff has been sitting on my show prep for a couple of weeks, and I just want to get it out of the way. Headline, tech update. The nation's first nudification ban. AI undressing apps. Man, people are depraved. You give the AI a picture of a person, and you want to see what they look like naked, and the AI obliges. Because people are sick. AI undress and have no moral restraint, you know. Wanting to see a hot person naked is not in and of itself depraved as long as you are willing to offer them your actual life and join with them and be married and all that kind of stuff. But just wanting to see them naked without their permission or consent by using an app, yeah, I mean, that's disgusting. AI undressing apps have rightly sparked plenty of concern. Now, Minnesota lawmakers are taking steps to outlaw them. Good. Earlier this week, the state Senate unanimously passed the country's first ban on so-called nudification apps, which use AI imagery to manipulate pictures. These apps are a major source of non-consensual deepfake imagery and have become more popular in recent years. I say, ew. Despite bans from web stores like Google and Apple, the apps are still easy to find. Platforms like Facebook and Instagram continue to run their ads, as in they're promoting them, even though you don't use them through them, helping them reach a wider audience. Even more concerning, the apps are simple enough for kids to use. Remember the case here, locally? So, yeah, great stuff. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. Happy Friday. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, Avalon Boulevard at San Pablo Street in Milton. No roadblock associated with that. I-10 and 110 both flowing smoothly. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
This Saturday is Armed Forces Day, and we are blessed as a nation with six branches of the military, including Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Space Force, and Coast Guard. Whatever military branch in which you serve, thank you. Thank you for being all that you can be and being Army strong. Thank you that it's not self, but country in the Navy. Thank you for being the few, the proud, the Marines, and for being Semper Fi, always faithful. Thank you to all the Air Force personnel who aim high, fly, fight, and win. Thank you for being Semper Supra in the Space Force and being always above. Thank you for being Semper P, always ready, in the Coast Guard. Your sacrifices are not taken for granted by biblical Christians. Thank you, Armed Forces personnel, for all you do to protect our freedom to worship Christ.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
If my dog, Ginger, could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl? Yeah.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
Oh, hey, I got a suggestion for you. Since I gave you all that soul-killing AI update information, here's one. A two-week phone detox can reboot your brain. As in, you know, unless you have to have it for work, maybe just put it away. And they don't mean, you know, no calls, maybe no texts, but, you know, all the other stuff. You know, it's not the phone that's the problem. It's not the camera that's the problem. It's probably not even the texting that's the problem. It's all the other stuff. If you could just abandon that for a couple of weeks, look at how happy you would be. That's what researchers found, is the phone detox is actually super beneficial for all of your health outcomes, which, I mean, does that surprise anybody? That just seems like common sense. And, you know, for kids, I mean, I've long been saying that, you know, we're going to, in 5 or 10 years, hopefully sooner, we're going to look back in amazement that we gave our kids phones, smartphones, AI, social media, any of that stuff. It's going to be like how we look at cocaine for, you know, back in the early 1900s. 467 adults participants use an app to block internet access on their phone for 14 days. Calls and text still allowed. Screen time cut roughly in half. And that held true. They reported self-reported higher well-being, improved mental health, sharper focus. I wouldn't be surprised it improved sleep. The improvement in sustained attention was about the same magnitude as 10 years of age-related decline. 10 years of age-related decline. The intervention, the researchers noted the effect of the intervention on depression symptoms was larger than antidepressants and similar to that of cognitive behavioral therapy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. It's not like you don't know what to do. Will you do it? David?
Well, Air Force One is headed back to the U.S. after President Trump wrapped up his summit with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. The two leaders met in Beijing, where they discussed trade, Iran, the Strait of Hormuz, and other topics. And Trump has now invited President Xi to the White House in September. The Arizona sheriff overseeing the investigation into Nancy Guthrie's disappearance says his department is working still every day to find the missing mother of Savannah Guthrie. Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos tells People magazine that DNA labs are working with investigators to come up with different ideas and thoughts about how to solve that case. And a rage-baiting live streamer, Andrew, known as Chud the Builder, is facing an attempted murder charge. Officials say 28-year-old Dalton Etherly exchanged gunfire with another man outside of a courthouse in Tennessee on Thursday. And it follows an arrest earlier in the week where he apparently walked out on a $300 restaurant tab after they told him to stop live streaming in the restaurant.
Apparently, a chud is right-wing, hateful, out-of-touch people is what it's used for. But it originally it was cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers, the movie, in the 1980s. So, you know, words do change meaning, I guess.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump meeting the reporters on Air Force One as it flies back to the States, describing his conversation with China's President Xi on this touchy topic.
On Taiwan, he does not want to see a fight for independence because that would be a very strong confrontation.
The president added he has not made a decision on whether a major U.S. sale of arms to Taiwan will move forward. The two leaders also spoke about the Islamic Republic.
On Iran, it's very interesting. He feels strongly they can't have a nuclear weapon. He said that very strongly. They cannot have a nuclear weapon, and he wants them to open up the strait.
Both of those sound bites from White House video. Ukrainian President Zelensky says a Russian missile strike on a Kyiv apartment building yesterday killed 24 people, including three teenagers. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 64 degrees right now with sunshine. We'll get a look at our forecast. That's up in just a few minutes. Flags at half staff across Florida today. It is Peace Officers Memorial Day, honoring federal, state, and local law enforcement officers that have been killed or injured in the line of duty. The day comes at the end of National Police Week. That runs through tomorrow. An improvised explosive device was found underwater at a Mobile reservoir dam, and that's now been safely retrieved and detonated. Divers discovered the device while conducting maintenance surveys at the Converse Reservoir Dam, a multi-agency response involving the FBI, local sheriff's officials, and bomb squads was coordinated and coordinated that retrieval and demolition. And officials called it an unprecedented threat and said the agencies are grateful that the device was found before it was able to damage the water supply. Escambia County Animal Rescue has rescued 32 dogs from a hoarding situation after officers say they recognized an individual that had fallen on hard times and could no longer care for the animals. Because the dogs hadn't received veterinary care in some time, they couldn't be taken to the main shelter without risking exposure to other animals. But county staff did set up a temporary emergency shelter at an empty building owned by the county. And the dogs are now receiving their vaccines and parasite prevention treatment. And they'll be at that shelter available for adoption soon. And speaking of that, Escambia Animal Welfare is having their Pet Palooza this weekend on Saturday. Director John Robinson says his staff takes pet matchmaking seriously.
One of the things that I like to brag about our staff is they're really good about meeting with people, talking to them, and saying, hey, this, you know, this animal fits your family. You know, if you're a couch potato, you want this dog or this cat. And if you're a runner, that this is probably a better fit for you.
Robinson says their Pet Palooza this weekend includes an adoptable dog parade around the shelter's outdoor walking path, which goes around a little pond. Vendors, food trucks, family activities, and volunteers and those seeking community service hours are welcome at that event. Also, if you're looking for a new pet, free adoptions are available for older cats and dogs through the Bissell Pet Foundation. Well, Santa Rosa County District Schools are officially cutting the ribbon on the new Soundside High School next month. That ceremony is set for June 9th at 11 a.m. in the school cafeteria. That will be followed by some public tours of the new campus. Soundside High opens in August, serving 9th and 10th grade students in the Navarre and Gulf Breeze areas. The school will also offer programs including cybersecurity, electricity, veterinary assistant studies, fine arts, and athletics. Jacksonville Democrat Representative Angie Nixon has been formally reprimanded by the House Rules and Ethics Committee after using a megaphone during a redistricting hearing 2 weeks ago when she was not allowed to speak. Committee Chair Sam Garrison said he hates reprimanding colleagues but has a responsibility to protect the institution. Nixon says she would not be doing her job sitting silently while Republicans stripped away voting rights. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. PJ has our traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. 9 miles running accident free. Not showing any delays in Car City. And Highway 90 clear from Milton to Pace. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Beautiful weather today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures will be warming up around 82 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping to 63. For Saturday, partly sunny skies, high near 82. Saturday night, temperatures dropping to 68. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 84 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping to 71. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it's 64 degrees with sunny skies. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of Honda Motor rose over 7% this morning, even after the Japanese automaker posted its first annual operating loss in nearly 70 years. Honda swung to an operating loss of roughly $2.6 billion for the fiscal year ending in March. Honda said it is shifting focus more towards China and India markets. First Football, the largest minority shareholder in the NFL's Las Vegas Raiders, said it is selling its 25% stake in the team to a group led by Egon Durban at a $9.9 billion valuation. CNBC's official NFL team valuation for 2025 valued the Raiders at $9.3 billion, fourth among the league's 32 teams. Oil prices are higher this morning by more than 2% after President Trump says China agreed to buy U.S. crude oil following a two-day summit with Chinese President Xi Jinping. West Texas Intermediate at roughly 104 per barrel, Brent at 108. Futures are sharply lower. Dow futures down by more than 300 points. NASDAQ futures down by more than 400 points. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Secret offers, guaranteed returns, over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit FLOFR.gov to learn more.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Nicole Stacy, Vice President of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beaches, festivals, and all things fun. You don't want to miss it.
The thing, too, that I love about where we live and our beaches is that they're family beaches.
Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
How much did Justice Scalia impact your judicial philosophy?
Very little. I mean, he and I were quite different. And we were both surprised that we would wind up the same place. We rarely, if ever, discuss cases. He was out killing unarmed animals a lot.
Love it.
I could not get into that. Why would you walk into the woods where there are rattlesnakes and moccasins and stuff to kill something you can get at the supermarket? And we would have this discussion, and he'd go out in the woods, you know. But no, he and I were different.
You know, it was an interesting question posed to Justice Thomas when he was at this UT Austin event a couple weeks ago. And I know I had covered this somewhat before, but hadn't gotten through all the Q&A stuff. And it just, I love the humanizing of Justice Thomas that we got out of this. I love the surprising variety of things that he said and commented. I thought the speech was fantastic. The Q&A was also revelatory. But particularly, you know, the Supreme Court has been out there doing media lately. You have Amy Coney Barrett did a thing at UT Austin at the Bush Presidential Center. And then I think it was Gorsuch was also going to do one that might have already happened or that might be happening today. Anyway, the Amy Coney Barrett one's fantastic. I'll cover that next week. But, you know, Sonia Sotomayor went on late night TV. I forget who it was. It was Kimmel or Fallon recently. Roberts has done some stuff. So they're talking, which I think is good because I suspect, you know, historically the court is kind of like not done very much media. And I think that's a problem for them because they've let regular news kind of turn them into these ghouls, you know, these reductive demons who are either just a byproduct of who nominated them, you know, six conservatives and three liberals or whatever. And you know, I will tell you from having listened to lots of oral argument and read lots of opinions, I still do not consider myself an expert on the court just because that is a very high bar to achieve. I'm as well informed as any layman can be, okay? And I think more informed than a lot of people who comment on the court, quite frankly. But you know, listening to these people talk about their lives and give these answers, it's different. Hearing them laugh and joke and play and be humans is important because ultimately, you know, it's important to realize that they are. Not just them, but, you know, the people you disagree with are people. The people you know, think are wrong in politics are people. They have families. They make jokes. They, you know, they cry at stuff. They have weird answers. They make mistakes. They're human. And I think so much of the time we just reduce people to their politically convenient pigeonhole that we want to put them in, and then that's all we know about them. I mean, and Thomas is a great example of this. The general perception of Thomas is he is just that mean conservative, you know, black guy on the court that kind of sold out his race and his people because he's not a liberal or something like that, you know? And man, the guy is so much, again, listen to him talk about how he's not Scalia.
He didn't have that great an influence. He's had an influence on the law. He probably was a bit of a more textualist than I was. He said that I was a bloodthirsty originalist and that he was not. I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it. And then he said to me once, oh God, I miss that guy. He said, Clarence, I walked in the conference of Clarence, you're solipsistic. I said, Nino, I don't know what that means, but I like the way it sounds.
First of all, I love that he calls him Nino, or Antonin Scalia. Second of all, just for context, a solipsist is somebody who believes that the whole world is a figment of their imagination, like Descartes' brain in the vat kind of thing, although that has an external agent. But solipsism is the idea that I exist, only I exist, and all of you are a figment of my imagination. It always cracks me up because solipsists bother to write books. And, you know, Henry Rollins rather famously wrote a book on solipsism. I'm like, I remember one time I was sitting at a bookstore, and I've told the story once or twice, so if you've heard it, I apologize. But I was sitting at a bookstore one time reading, drinking coffee, and the guy next to me was sitting there with, you know, he was reading Solipsism by Henry Rollins. And, you know, I said, oh, what you reading? And I knew. And he said, oh, this is a book by Henry Rollins, the singer. And what is it called? It's called Solipsism. I was like, oh, like, you know, the idea that only he exists and everybody else is a figment of his imagination. He's like, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I'm like, yeah, it kind of is. Why do you think you wrote the book? If nobody else exists, why would a solipsist bother writing a book about it? he kind of stopped and, you know, suffered an internal circuit malfunction, you know, kind of left. I don't remember. I actually don't remember how it turned out. But anyway, back to the actual comments about Scalia and Thomas. And I love that. What it was that little thing that he said that, you know, I miss that guy?
He said to me once, oh, God, I miss that guy.
Oh, I love that.
He would, there was an opinion that he thought was a bit of a dog opinion. He was talking to the chief about it, and I walked in. He said, oh, give it to Clarence. He has nothing to lose. But he was more than, he didn't influence me on my jurisprudence as much as he was just a wonderful friend that I trusted to work with.
It's just great. More on this in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, Pittman Avenue at Jones Street in Pensacola. No roadblock associated with that. Also, eastbound Caroline Street in Pace, running heavy near Chemical Highway. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. PJ, back to Clarence Thomas talking about Antonin Scalia.
We would disagree. He referred to one of my Fourth Amendment opinions as a, what did he said? It was a liberty-destroying cocktail. And so we were out to lunch with the clerks one day, and he was having trouble figuring out what to drink. Mm-hmm. And so I said, Nino, you should get you one of those liberty-destroying cocktails.
Nice.
He immediately said, oh, that wasn't me, Clarence. That wasn't me. And the law clerks are sitting there. It's one of these. His DNA is on it. It's like fingerprints are all over it. He dropped his ID on it, and he's claiming it's somebody else. A liberty-destroying cocktail. I thought that was a great line. I loved working with him. I loved working with that court. That court that was together 11 years is my favorite. It was a wonderful time. But as far as my jurisprudence, I take ownership of that and all the blame and everything else. No one else is responsible. It's me.
My jurisprudence is a Thomas-made project. 437-1620. Last little section here, and this was more substantial in the sense of he was trying to give guidance, you know, to the students at UT Austin and kind of encourage them to get involved and make a difference and what that would look like, which, of course, I'd, you know, certainly agree with all of that. But, you know, he was asked about, you know, how do you develop confidence in government again? What do we need to do to reestablish that?
I think if we don't stand up and take ownership of our country and take responsible for it, we are slowly letting others control how we think and what we think.
Yeah.
I think the beauty of going to school is that you learn how to think for yourself. You develop the discipline to think things through. And if you think it's losing confidence, then you get up and you participate. You don't sit on the sidelines. You think that the state is being run and inconsistent with how you feel, then you get up and you participate. You prepare yourself. If you think that the medical profession is not right, well, you become a doctor, be a medical person, and you deal with that. I think we need to take ownership of our country. It's our country. It is not on automatic pilot. People know more about how to program their cell phone than they know about their participating in their government.
Oh, man. So I don't know how true that is for you guys, because if, you know, you're here with me every day, I'm trying to remedy that problem, right? I'm trying to teach you not just about government, but your government and your people and what they do and keep you informed. So I hope that at least listeners of the Pensacola Morning News know more about their government than they do about their phones and their apps. But, you know, I'm not saying it's an easy win, right?
Constitution is that thick. You could sit down over a cup of coffee and read the entire thing. How many people have read it? How many people know why those provisions are there? I mean, I think each of us, this again, I try to make the point, is government by consent. That means we take ownership. It's our consent. And it's our country. And the only way, I was asking a student at lunch today, and I'll repeat it. If you let someone use your car and you never check on it, whether they changed the oil, they had it serviced, you just let them take it to East Texas and use it, and you get it back, what condition do you think it would be in? It wouldn't look that, and that's what we're doing to our country. And if you want to, think of people, how much they protect their cell phones. Why don't we protect our country that way? It's ours.
You know, last piece here.
And if you want to have trust, if correct what you think is wrong, then get up and do it. Learn more about it.
Absolutely. Amen. 7:50 here on News Radio 92.3. Like I said, I actually have just finished listening to Amy Coney Barrett do a similar event. Although I think it was all just Q&A. I don't think she gave a speech, if I remember correctly. But it's fantastic. And I'll share that with you sometime next week. But I like that the justices are out talking and being human and showing that they're not just these, you know, automatons who are going to produce whatever the outcome of the political party of the president who appointed them tells them to do. And I love that. You know, I listen, pay attention, think, engage, take seriously the other people's point of view. You know, even more seriously than they take it sometimes. It's okay. You know, the one of the big shifts, couple of big shifts, and I mean, I used to teach logic and reasoning and ethics, and so this is kind of stuff I really take seriously. You know, one big shift is learning to cherish finding your mistakes so that you don't hold them anymore. You know, learn to prefer to become right tomorrow rather than preferring to, you know, claim that you were right yesterday. That's a big shift for a lot of people. The other one is stop identifying your value as a person with the beliefs you hold. It's a very easy thing, especially for smart people. Anything you're good at tends to become an idol that you worship because you tend to make it so important in your life that you define your identity around it. As a Christian, you should not define your identity around anything other than your, you know, being in Christ. But everybody does this. You're good at something, you tend to make that your identity. Well, for intellectuals, people who are smart and good at arguing, you tend to make, like, your beliefs and reasoning kind of your thing. Like, that's what makes you who you are. And winning arguments becomes your thing. Don't do that. You know, you don't have to win the argument to be right. You don't have to express the point of view to be human. You can be wrong. It's okay. And you can take other people's ideas seriously and even argue for them. It doesn't diminish you. It actually enhances you because you've done an intellectual exercise of taking a contrary view seriously, like you should do for all of those things. All right, lecture over for this moment. More to come. This is important stuff. If you are thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, about 400, 300 to 400 on the lot at any given moment. And their philosophy, I mean, it's obviously selling good cars, okay? But their philosophy isn't just selling good quality cars, you know, almost new cars. They don't sell clunkers. They don't sell old cars. They sell cars that are a couple years old with a few tens of thousand miles on them. You know, good prices. They warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years. But the key for them is being the kind of used car place that you don't dread going to, that you enjoy going to, that you don't feel icky like you've got to take a shower after you get out. Like, that's how most people feel at most of these places. It's very understandable. And they just try to be not that. They don't want one sale. They want all the sales forever because you enjoyed the process and got a great result and a good deal. It's a different way of doing business, like their neighbors as opposed to, you know, like predators, you know, as some kind of folks look at it. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Here's a tale of Tina searching up and down for decent GLP-1s, but got spun around.
Till good Rx wrote in, hey, we got something new. GLP-1 prescriptions all FDA approved.
Brand name meds, no flags that are red.
Clear pricing from the start. None of those hidden fees in your cart.
Delivered to your door or pick up same day. Darn tootin'.
Save time and money on prescriptions.
Hot put it to goodrx.com/weightloss. GoodRx is not insurance.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Don't you call me a mindless philosopher, you overweight glob of grease. Now come out before somebody sees you.
If the slur fits, wear it. Mindless philosopher. Fine, whatever. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. PJ has got traffic on the fives.
All right, taking a look at the big board, we have a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound, mile marker 10. That is the Pensacola Boulevard exit. No roadblock associated with that. Also, a vehicle crash, Pittman Avenue at Jones Street in Pensacola. Roadway's clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Two Senate Democrats are raising safety concerns over FAA-approved staffing reductions on some long-haul airline flights. Senators Tammy Duckworth and Tammy Baldwin say fewer flight attendants could slow emergency evacuations. The FAA says their staffing levels are based on seating capacity and that tests were successfully completed. The jury in the Elon Musk versus Sam Altman trial heard closing arguments yesterday. Musk is suing OpenAI. The company he co-founded, along with its CEO, Sam Altman. He argues that Altman went back on a promise to keep OpenAI a nonprofit and that $38 million he donated was misused for commercial purposes. And Andrew, I know you're a big fan of hip hop, so you'll appreciate
old school
hip
hop. Yeah. I'm fine with your Kool Moe Dee and your Run DMC and your Public Enemy.
Only
I'm there.
Old school. I thought maybe you'd be interested in knowing that Drake has now released three new
albums.
That
does not qualify to me.
Okay, well. He was expected to drop one album today, but apparently two others came with it, two bonus albums, the first since his big beef with Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm. 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 I actually set out to try to like Drake because he is mega successful, and I listened to as much of it as I could stand, and I was so unimpressed. Maybe that says something about me, but, you know.
Well, I think you making the effort is more than I did.
Because I figured, like, if so many people love a thing, you know, maybe it's great. Brussels sprouts, nope. You know? And so,
wait,
Drake,
what do you got against Brussels sprouts?
Drake is not really the Brussels sprouts of music. He's more like the wax beans of music. It's just so boring. I found it incredibly boring, personally. So, I'm not an enthusiastic Kendrick Lamar fan either, but at least I found him interesting. You know, I can listen to that. It's not my preferred choice, but, you know. It's fine.
Somewhere we've got a Brussels sprout lover who's really offended by this whole analogy.
I love wax beans. How dare you? And I can't stand Drake. Or I love Drake. How dare you compare him to wax beans? Okay. All right. You know, whatever. Pick your argument. 437-1620. Text me your fury. David, thank you so much for the update. Couple of quick notes. Number one, this is interesting. I was talking to sources, let's just say, at the city, and Palo Fox, you know, is under heavy reconstructive surgery right now and is going to officially, like, May 24th is that's the deadline. Like, if they hit that, then they get bonuses, and if they don't hit that, they get, you know, they don't get the bonuses, basically, and to the degree that they don't get the bonuses, that money goes to pay the shop owners on Palo Fox for their troubles, basically offsetting their rents and costs during the time. It's kind of the way that's going to work, up to 10% if they eventually don't miss it, you know, if they don't miss the first one, or they miss the first one and the second one. That's not the point. The point is, I hear that maybe what's going to happen with Palo Fox that you might think would officially reopen on the 24th, that actually the plan right now, if it turns out. But the plan right now is to reopen on the 22nd, so a week from Monday, to pedestrians only for about a week through the 31st, and then to open to traffic on the 1st. So the Fiesta Parade will be that following weekend. The idea is to do the parade where it's pedestrians only. Although I think the Fiesta Parade is still going to go down Jefferson. My mistake. But to just get past the parade, get past the, you know, let's open it. Let's make sure that we're, you know, everything works the way it's supposed to work with the water and all that. And anyway, just give it a few days. So it looks like the plan right now is to have it be pedestrian access only for the first, you know, week to 7 or 8, 9 days, something like that. And then to open on the 1st of June, actually, to regular traffic and ordinary use. So we'll see if that turns out. Coming up next, the Transgressors Memorial Service. Find out what Billy Bob Thornton and Howie Mandel and Sydney Sweeney got canceled. Should be interesting. The late service at 8:20 with Brother Andrew.
You're listening to